Please keep that reading from John's Gospel in front of you. It's on page 1082. Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you for this precious time to think together on your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Please help us to understand the words of Jesus, and please plant them deep in us that our lives might be changed for your glory. Amen. Amen. When you're facing challenges in life, isn't it great to have somebody with you, an expert to help? If you had to cook a gourmet meal for a large group of people, I wonder who you would most like to have with you as your helper. I know who I would choose. It would be Mary Berry from the Great British Bake Off. I'm sure she'd be a great help in the kitchen. Or if you had to play in an international rugby match through some strange circumstances, who would you most like beside you? I would choose the England number 8, Billy Vunipola, who weighs some 20 stone. Incidentally, you wouldn't want to get those two helpers the wrong way round, would you? Don't know how much help dear Mary Berry would be on the rugby field, or indeed Billy Vunipola in the gourmet kitchen. But actually, whatever we do in life, whatever challenges we face, building our marriages, raising children, living as a witness for Jesus at school, at work, in the community, trusting Jesus through exams, trusting Jesus through health difficulties, coping with that difficult person. In all of these things, would it not be wonderful to have an expert with us to help in all of these challenges? Well, we're working these weeks through the part of John's Gospel where Jesus is speaking to his disciples the night before he died. And he's explained to them that he's leaving them. You know, it must have felt as if the bottom was falling out of their lives. They'd given up everything to be with Jesus, and now he says he's leaving them. He's explained that he's going to the Father's house to prepare a place there for them. He's urged them to pray and to ask for whatever they need in his name. And now in today's passage, he promises them that in the challenges ahead, they will not be on their own. He's going to provide them with just such a helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit to the first disciples and to us in order to give us confidence and peace in the challenges of life. If you look at verse 27, it's actually the only verse in this passage with an instruction in it. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You see, that's the reason Jesus gives this teaching on the Holy Spirit, so that knowing we have the Helper with us, we might be free from fear and have confidence in our hearts. Now, the passage contains a number of intertwined themes that run through the passage, and I want to draw out four as we see the teaching of Jesus himself on the Holy Spirit. The first theme is this: the Holy Spirit is another counselor like Jesus. Yes, it's true that Jesus is leaving them, but the Holy Spirit is another counselor like Jesus. You see this in verses 15 and 16. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Now, the word translated counselor here is quite hard to put into English. It literally means the one who is called alongside to help. So it's used of an advocate who helps you in a law court. It could also mean comforter, as in our Old English translation, and it can mean helper, encourager, and strengthener. And notice Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." That word "another" means another one like the first. You see, the first counselor who the Father gave to the disciples was Jesus himself. And now here is a promise of another counselor, like the first, the Holy Spirit, to carry on the work of Jesus. Just as Jesus did for the first disciples, so the Holy Spirit does for believers today. Jesus taught his disciples, comforted and challenged, changed them and equipped them for his service. Well, what Jesus was on earth to his disciples, the Holy Spirit has been to believers ever since. He's another counselor like Jesus. Actually, this should give us such a high view of the Holy Spirit. Because who could possibly take over from God the Son and fulfill his role as counselor? Well, only God, the Holy Spirit. As a counselor, he is equal to Jesus himself. Whatever we face in life, as Christian believers, we have a counselor, a strengthener, a comforter, an encourager, just like Jesus. Well, the second theme builds on that privilege of having another counselor like Jesus. Second theme we see here is that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's not some distant controller. He actually dwells in us. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus promises the disciples that the Holy Spirit will dwell in his followers. Now, what a thought that is, God in us. I don't think we can get to the bottom of everything that means, but it means that the Holy Spirit relates to us on the most intimate level possible. And since he is in us, well, he can change us from the inside out, transforming us at the level of our motives, our wills. He dwells in us. And the Holy Spirit brings Jesus to dwell in us too. If we look at verses 18 to 20, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, people have discussed whether Jesus is talking about his resurrection or the giving of the Holy Spirit in these verses. I think it's both. Jesus promises that he will come to his disciples. He came to them through the resurrection when they saw him, and he stayed with them through the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, to have the Holy Spirit in us is to have Jesus in us as well. And actually, it's also to have God the Father in us. We see that in verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You just cannot separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, they're three persons, but they're one God united in the most perfect relationship. They dwell in each other, perfectly united in all they do. And actually, the Holy Spirit brings believers into that wonderful relationship of unity. When the Spirit dwells in us, well, he brings the Father and the Son with him. Now, if you could have anyone to stay in your house, I wonder who you would choose to have as a visitor. One ex-neighbour of mine had Muhammad Ali to stay in his house, the champion boxer who died this weekend. And this ex-neighbour was so proud and pleased to have Muhammad Ali stay in his house. He's still going on about it now, 20 years later, about the week when Ali was staying. Wonder who you would choose. I guess many people would choose the Queen herself to come and visit. Be quite a responsibility, but a huge privilege to have her to stay. Well, in this passage, Jesus is not promising the Queen, but God. And he's not promising coming to stay for a visit, but coming to dwell in believers forever. One writer commenting on these verses has said that we Christians need to recover an awareness of God's sacred presence in us. God's presence in us is not a mystical experience we sometimes have. It's actually a daily reality for the Christian believer, whether we know it or not. And God's sacred presence in us is a great responsibility. In the way we live, in every area, the way we speak to people, the things we do, do we live in a way that's suitable for God dwelling in us? And God's sacred presence in us is not only a responsibility, it is a huge privilege. This week, every room we go into, every appointment we go to, every person we speak to, the believer does as those who have God, Spirit, Son, and Father, in us. We do not face these things on our own as orphans, but as those who have the Spirit dwelling within, the great counselor and encourager, equal to Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Well, the third theme we see here tells us more of what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches Jesus' message. Not only does he dwell in us, he teaches us. He teaches us Jesus' message. And I think we see this most clearly in our passage in verses 25 and 26. So Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but a counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now we need to think about these verses. Sometimes they have been understood as a promise to every Christian, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, so that even without reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit will just tell us everything that we need or want to know. But remember here, Jesus is speaking to his first disciples, the apostles, who would go on to oversee the writing of the New Testament. And verse 26 doesn't really make sense as a promise to every Christian. How could the Spirit remind us of everything that Jesus has said, since unlike the apostles, we have not had the privilege of hearing Jesus in the first place? Now, verse 26 is first and foremost a promise to the apostles that the Holy Spirit would remind them of everything Jesus had said. And actually, this explains how it is that they were able to write the Gospels and the letters in the Bible. The Holy Spirit was their teacher as they wrote. As Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit reminded them of everything Jesus said so they could write the Gospels. And the Holy Spirit taught them all things, that is, all things about Jesus and how to live for him, so they could write the letters. But of course, the Holy Spirit does continue his teaching role in Christians today. There's no promise that he will teach us new things not in the Bible, but as we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit himself is teaching us and teaching us all things through it. And the Holy Spirit stays in our hearts to remind us all through life of the words of Jesus that we've read in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And doesn't it make a huge difference in life to have an expert teacher? If you think back to the days of learning to drive, what a difference it makes to not only have your parents teaching you, but also a professional teacher. I think most of us find we learn much quicker that way. Or last weekend, my fiancée Louise arranged for the two of us to have some dancing lessons from a professional dancer. Now, I can't really describe to you in words what my dancing was like before, but suffice it to say, it was not good. However, even me, after these lessons with a professional teacher, I don't say I'm now good at dancing, but I can move around the dance floor. What a difference it makes to have a teacher. And in fact, the more important something is, the more important the teacher is. What a promise here is when it comes to learning Jesus' message, we have a teacher, and that teacher is God, the Holy Spirit. He personally teaches us today through the words he taught the apostles to write in the Bible. And actually, knowing this is such a help when reading the Bible feels routine or stale. Remember, as you open the Bible at church, in growth groups, and in quiet times, these are the words the Holy Spirit taught the apostles. If we neglect the Bible, we're neglecting the Spirit. But if we immerse ourselves in the Bible, we're immersing ourselves in the words of the Holy Spirit and therefore the words of Jesus. And remember, as you read the Bible, the Spirit is within you as your teacher. The Spirit himself will be teaching you, guiding you into truth, and then later reminding you of what you've read. So when we read the Bible, we should pray and ask the Spirit to teach us, and then expect great things from our divine teacher, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches Jesus' message. Well, there's one final theme to see to bring completeness to our survey of Jesus' teaching here. And that is that the Holy Spirit comes to all who love and obey Jesus. Actually, we see this theme at many points in the reading. You see it in verse 15 again. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You see it also in 22 and 23. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, the gift of the Spirit is given to anyone who loves Jesus and obeys his teaching. It's not that we earn the Holy Spirit by loving Jesus. Now, the rest of the Bible makes it clear the Holy Spirit is poured out freely and generously on all who put their faith in Jesus. The point here is that the mark of true faith in Jesus is love for him. And the consequence of true love for Jesus is obedience to him. Now, if you're like me, this might make you worry. Do I love him? Do I obey him? Well, Christian believers, our love for Jesus is always a response to his love for us. So just think of the love that Jesus Christ has for you. We turned away from him, but he loved us so much that he went to the cross for us. Jesus Christ thought of the dreadful judgment that our sins deserve, and he thought, I'm going to face that judgment in their place so that they don't have to. And in love, he did this so that we can be washed clean, so that we can have a place prepared for us to be with him forever, and so that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think of that love that Jesus Christ has for you, do you not find that your heart is stirred with love for him? And when you think of all that he's done for you, don't you feel that you want to live your life as he commands? Believers, it's true that we don't love him as much as we should, but we do love him. And we still sin, sadly we still sin, but believers, our lives are shaped in the direction of obedience to Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father to give you another counselor. Jesus tells us to love and obey him. And in fact, in the final paragraph of our reading, Jesus shows us that he himself relates to the Father in the same way he asks us to relate to him. So verse 28, you heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. The Father is greater than the Son, Jesus says, not because he is any more God or the Son is any less God, but because it is the Father who commands and sends and the Son who obeys and who goes. Jesus died on the cross not because the devil had any hold on him, but because he loves and obeys the Father. This is how Jesus calls us to relate to him in love and obedience as he relates himself to the Father. So as we finish, let's come back to verse 27, that verse with the instruction in. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, peace in the Bible comes in three dimensions. There's peace with God through the forgiveness of sins, right relationship restored with him. Then there's peace with one another in the family of Christ. And last of all, there's peace within, that calm and contentment right in the face of life's challenges. The world can't give that peace, but Jesus Christ can. So as we go from here this morning, many of us I know will be going to face considerable challenges, just as Jesus' first disciples did. And you know, we were never meant to face these challenges on our own. Jesus went to the cross so that we could face them with the Holy Spirit, the one who teaches us Jesus' message, the one who dwells within at the most intimate level, and the one who is another counselor, just like the great counselor himself. Knowing that, I hope that we can go not being afraid, not letting our hearts be troubled, but thanking God for his Spirit within. Let us pray. Our gracious, generous, merciful God, just as those first disciples were facing such challenges as Jesus left them, so do we, many of us. Help us to remember that you have set your Spirit within us, and we pray that we would know him doing his work of teaching and reminding us of Jesus' words, and his work of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Amen.